Dr. Kevin Fitzpatrick from the group Not Dead Yet is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Kevin.
Good morning.
Your reaction to what you've just heard?
Well, isn't there a contradiction? Didn't he just say that doctors tell us that we don't need to die in unbearable pain? It doesn't need to be a long, lingering death in that way. So why be afraid of it? And as you know very often, that I'm completely against the idea of legalizing it and the dangers that that brings to any society that goes that way, that treats death in that way as routine. And in fact, it almost treats death in our human existence. It becomes like stepping off a bus. You know, you've been on the bus, you want to get off, off you get it. And death is not like that in human life.
Tom Curran of Exit International, listening to you this morning as well. Tom, you campaign for assisted suicide, and here you have now this morning one of the most high-profile broadcasters that Ireland has ever had saying it's an option for him.
Yes, and there's an awful lot of more people, particularly since Mary made her wishes known, there's an awful lot more people coming forward and considering it, not necessarily saying that they will or they won't, but saying that it is an option. And as Gay said, it's a rational option. It's an option that any rational person, I feel, would consider, not necessarily decide to, but would consider. But for those who do decide, although Gay said that he's told that people don't have to live in pain, that's not quite true. That people do suffer pain towards the end. And what he said was that he didn't want to linger in pain, that he wanted it to be quick. Now, pain is, to a certain extent, controllable, but not completely. And I know that from our own experience, from Mary for the last couple of years of her life, that, yes, the pain could have been controlled to the extent that she didn't feel it, but she wouldn't have felt anything else. She would have been practically comatose, so that there would have been no life. So she took pain control to the point where it dulled the pain, but it didn't get rid of it. So there was constant pain there. And she felt that, as I feel, because it was her that convinced me, to be perfectly honest, that this was right, that she felt that at a point where she didn't want to put up with that, that she could take the option of ending her life or having her life ended. The other difficulty, and Gay is saying that as well, that the medical profession might help, or that's the impression I got from it, but they won't. The difficulty in getting a peaceful death is the provision of a peaceful death. And that's where the assistance is necessary. It's perfectly legal, both in Ireland and all over the UK, for a person to take their own life. That legal right is there. Whether it's a moral right is a totally different argument, but that legal right is there.
Well,
that peacefully is the problem.
You can imagine with such an iconic, high-profile broadcast, the reaction already this morning. Here's the first call of the day. Frank, morning to you, Frank.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I think it's okay if they're like a Gay Byrne and whoever, such people like him, they have lived a very, what would you call it, established life. It's okay. What about the wee person in Belfast, Dublin, Limerick, any city in Ireland or in any country area? Let them boys put themselves in these people's shoes.
Well, what's Gay Byrne done wrong?
Well, he has come on and he's advocating suicide.
Well, he's not advocating suicide for anyone else. He is saying
Correct. That
it's an option for him.
It's an example. It's by example, Stephen, that it's by example that we learn our young people the rights and wrongs of life. Now, he's coming on this morning, as you say, he's one of the main broadcasters in Ireland. If a wee critter on the Falls Road or the Shankill Road or anywhere in Dublin, as I say in the cities, is getting life tough, who mightn't have the price of a loaf of bread.
But hold on a minute. Gay Byrne is not talking about suicide in lots of different circumstances. It's a precise circumstance in which if you were terminally ill and you were in severe pain, it is an option that he will consider.
Suicide is one word. And one word means suicide. You take your life. It's against God and it's against man. And for him to be coming on the air and saying that this morning, I must say, I always watch the Late Late Show. But I have to say, I would be disgusted with him this morning for him to be coming on and advocating that. If he was sitting in some wee flat somewhere, people getting it tough, maybe having to pay their mortgage, maybe hasn't got the money to do it. It's okay for the like of him. He had the money to do whatever he wanted. He's probably now sitting
up. Whether he's got money or not is kind of irrelevant when you are at the end of your life and you feel that you want to make a decision for yourself.
No.
No, it's not, Stephen.
A person, whenever a person's seriously ill, they cannot make up that decision themselves. I myself...
Kevin Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, your caller is absolutely right, Stephen, because this is a broader issue. When people do advocate suicide, if you look at the numbers of disabled people who have been forced or felt forced to take their lives because their social welfare, their care and their health care, their social care, their lives have been destroyed when that's been taken away from them. And what we're getting now is we're getting to a place where we're routinely having this discussion, where your caller is absolutely right, where people are actually feeling themselves more and more and more pressured. Out of those circumstances that you mentioned, the fact is it's not terminally ill people who are dying by euthanasia. It is people who are not terminally ill. People who are disabled, and there, again, is a fear that Gay Byrne mentioned. People are afraid to be in pain and afraid to be disabled. Why? I've lived a disabled life for over 40 years. I'm in pain. Tom Curran talked about pain, and I know that Murray was in pain. So am I. But what is the issue here? The issue is that people actually... respond, human beings respond to the situations that they find themselves in, cope with those situations or not. And your caller is right in this context, that at the end of the day, here is a choice to commit suicide or not. And to have assistance to do that or not is part of the decision to commit suicide. And people do feel pressured into that, regardless of whether they're terminally ill or not.
Tom Curran?
I think that everybody is entitled to their own opinion. And as Kevin said, and I know Kevin, good morning, Kevin. We've met.
Hi, Tom.
We've met several times, and Kevin knew Mary as well. But that's Kevin's choice. I accept that Kevin is in pain, and my heart goes out to anybody that's in pain, not just to Kevin. And if Kevin wants to endure that pain, that's Kevin's choice. But if other people don't, that should be their choice as well. And we should provide as much help on both sides, in palliative care, in things like that. And if society forces people to consider suicide when they have social pressures, then that's a very black mark for society, and it's that we should be looking at,
Stephen.
Not preventing people who want to end their life of pain from getting that.
The problem there is that palliative care, as you know, Tom, is patchy at best. But you're right. What we should be campaigning for is the right of every citizen to the best possible palliative care that's available, any kind of medical facility. We're not getting that. What we are getting is people dying in desperation and their pain not being controlled.
All right, listen, lots of you want to talk about this morning. Stay there, Frank, because Pat wants to speak to you this morning. Morning to you, Pat.
Good morning.
You can speak to Frank. Say good morning to him. Go ahead.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Pat.
What I'd like to say is, I'm a disabled and ex-disabled seaman.
Yes.
And I suffer severely with arthritis and that.
Yes.
I live by myself, and I contemplate suicide at least half a dozen times a night.
That's fair enough, Pat.
I don't see, if I do commit suicide, I think it's my right, because it's my body.
No. Could I say to you, Pat?
It's my body, because for one simple reason, I don't believe in an afterlife. And I would like to think that if I did commit suicide, that at least parts of my body could be used to give life than to someone else who does want to live.
That's fair enough, Pat, but we shouldn't advocate it. Now, can I say this to you? You speak of arthritis. I am disabled myself. I was on a life support machine for 2 weeks, and I can assure you, I was glad one day that I was able to pull the curtains over my bedroom window, and I know what it's like to be on death's door. And I have suffered with a brain injury, and I've suffered with arthritis. And believe you me, we should be thankful. I see people far worse off than me. I've been in the hospital this last 7 years. And I can assure you, if you had a son or a daughter, thanks be to God, it hasn't happened to me. But friends of mine have lost a son or a daughter through suicide, and I say God bless them, because they need all our help. And Stephen, could I say this to you? I have a wee prayer here. Would you mind if I say it?
Well, one second, because there are loads of people wanting to speak. Stay there, Frank, for me. Carol, morning to you, Carol.
Good morning, Stephen.
You've got cancer.
Yes, and I have been terminal for 3 years. I've coped fairly well till now, but I'm just beginning to get more problems as it's travelling through my bones. Now, I've just listened to one or two of your callers. I know what my end is going to be like, and I would so much like to have my family round me. and be able to go when it's not too bad. And I don't want my family to watch me go through hell. And I know it's going to happen. But what can I do? There's no law that's going to help me. So where do I go from here?
Well, Carol, can I say this to you? I sympathise...
Hold on, Frank. I want to understand Carol's situation slightly more. Carol, how much pain are you in?
Not too bad at the moment, but my hips are giving me a bit of jip, and that's going down my legs. They're worried if I get tingling legs and feet that my spine is going to be giving me a lot of problem because of cancer in my spine. So what have I got to look forward to apart from, you know, just gradually getting worse?
Well, Carol, could I...
And this... Sorry, go ahead, Frank.
Stephen, can I say to Carol? Carol, I have every sympathy for you, Pat. But this is what I say to you. Whenever you get up in the morning, draw your curtains and say, thanks be to God, this is another day, and put yesterday behind you. And I have an illness of iris on my brain, and I have pain pressure 24/7.
But is it not Carol's choice? Carol, do you think, like Gay Byrne feels, that it should be your choice as to how you end your life?
Oh, definitely. And I felt that way for years, before I knew I had this problem.
You see, Stephen...
Look, even if it is Carol's choice, and Carol wants to make an individual choice, you pointed out before, and we pointed this out many times, that Carol has an individual choice to make there, and it's not a question of anyone legislating against her. What we are concerned about, as you know, is that the minute that you do legislate, the minute you change the law to allow third parties to intervene in the death of another person, what you get is actually the opposite of choice. You get all autonomy for the patient taken away and put into the hands of the patient. That's what the laws do. Put into the hands of doctors, rather. And that's what laws do. They take away choice. They don't give choice. And as you know, the consequences of choosing to legislate for this are that in Belgium, children of any age can choose to die. Children of any age. And in Belgium, they've now introduced euthanasia for convicted prisoners. So what you get is the kind of society that we do not want. And what I keep on saying is that when we routinize, when we constantly have these conversations about suicide, we tend to give people the message that suicide is okay. And as the other callers pointed out, I mean, in Britain alone, there are 4,400 suicides a year. And those families are devastated by that. Now, what I'm not prepared to do is I'm not prepared to step into someone like Carol's situation, because it's very like my own, and say, you cannot do that. That's not the issue. The issue is, if you then make it legal for someone to intervene in her end of life, then you make it legal for everybody. And the minute you do that, then whoever the wee woman is, wherever she may be, in a rural setting or a city setting, the pressure is on.
Okay.
And the people who will die.
Kevin, thank you very much indeed. Good morning to you. And this is a subject that many of us, obviously all of us, can have an opinion on, because we do not know what is around the corner for ourselves. And there will be some of you in a situation right now where you may indeed have a terminal illness. You may indeed be nearing the end of your life. Even if you're not, obviously, you can foresee a situation in which it may happen to you. It could happen to any of us. The number today, 08459 555 678. Why are we talking about this? Well, in an interview that we will play in full next week, the legendary broadcaster Gay Byrne has told The Nolan Show that he would contemplate suicide for himself if he was nearing the end of his life and was in severe pain. Let's just remind ourselves some of what he said.
My dread would be that I would lie a long time in an awful pain. They assure me now you don't have to lie a long time in awful pain, but your dread is that you lie a long time in awful pain and disability and so on. I'd rather it happened very, very quickly and gone. Thank you. Goodbye. Lights out.
But if it didn't, would you want to be able to take your own life?
Yes, I think there's a great deal of rationality behind that, and I think it is a choice that people can make. And if you are facing into a long, drawn-out, terrible illness of great pain, I think that is an option.
And might you do it?
I think you would have to. I think I would have to consider it. I think I would have to consider it, although it is against all the tenets of everything we have been taught. But more and more people are realising that's the way out, and maybe we should take it.
Commentator Lata Sharma listening to this.
Good morning.
What do you make of this, Lata?
The word rational came into his sentence there, and it really is down to whether you are able to make a rational decision for yourself. The concern that I would have is that I don't think it should ever be, obviously, it's the emotional pressure that some people can feel. Are they putting burden on their families? Those sort of issues arise. Also, dementia patients can't make a rational decision. So once you have that problem, I don't think it's right to even think about euthanasia for people like that, because right up to the last minute, you can change your mind. And it's the most, it must be the most frightening thing in the world to think that you might have to choose as to whether you live or die. But the person who can only tell you is the person who's going through that actual experience. So each case has to be done on its own merit. It has to be, that decision has to be made based on what they're going through at the time. My father passed away from cancer 15 years ago. He was in severe pain, but I know my dad always held out hope. He had his belief, and he felt that he waited until it was time to go, when it was time to take his last breath. I don't know personally if he would have liked to have had that decision. I have a mother who's extremely ill at this time. She's a fighter. And I couldn't possibly imagine what pain and suffering she is going through. But I think it has to be very much down to the personality of that person, what they're able to tolerate, what humiliation. Because getting ill like that is humiliating as well, because you are having things done to you that are degrading, and it can be embarrassing, and you just don't know what that person emotionally is going through. So I think we have to respect people who choose to do it, as well as the people who choose not to do it. And it's very difficult to make a law thing about it and not think that you're tampering or stepping on anybody's toes about these issues. It's such a hard, hard issue to discuss. Yeah.
Kate Byrne is obviously...
I'm sitting here in hospital with my mother at the moment, and it's difficult because I'm watching her suffer, and I don't know. I wouldn't want to do it myself. I wouldn't want to make that decision for her, and it's not my place. And I'm a great believer in when your time is up, your time's up.
Kate Byrne is obviously such an influential, iconic person in throughout Ireland, Lara, that this will no doubt spark this debate again. And he was very much, well, you heard him there, he was very much matter of fact about it, wasn't he? He was pretty sure of his view.
Yes, and I have to say, you can be matter of fact when you're at a place where you're able to tolerate any aches and pains that you're going through. But we don't know. We're all individuals. And we have to respect individuality of that person and their condition and what they're going through. And really, what Gay was talking about, which struck a chord with me as well, is he actually mentioned the fact that how he was brought up. And religion and faith has a lot to do with what you think is right or wrong. And here we have a really difficult situation where you're brought up to believe that you shouldn't take your own life in certain faiths, you know, or in all faiths. I think it's pretty clear about that. But we're not talking about taking your own life in the sense of a suicide as such. This is something different. This is, the dynamics of this are completely different. And when someone is suffering and they are saying, and they're still able to look at you in the eye and say, you know what, I can't take this anymore, and I have decided that this is it, and I'm not prepared to take this anymore. We have to respect that. We have to respect it.
Carol, we cannot
enforce that. I don't personally want it for anybody, for myself at this time. But then I'm healthy and I'm strong, and I don't know what I'm going to be facing in the future.
Well, Carol,
but
I know you're
my future and my choice.
Carol, I know you're listening to this morning. I just remind people you've got cancer. It's terminal cancer, Carol.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Are you frightened? Is that part of this?
No, I'm not frightened at all. But I do not want my family to see me go through absolute hell, which is what most people have described so far. I've already done a DNR, which means that I do not get resuscitated if I was to have a heart attack or a accident or something or other, but I know I have limited time. I don't know how long. I've gone through this for 3 years and not done too bad at all. Whenever I walk in the doctors, he always says how well I look. But now I'm just beginning to feel that slight difference, and now a little bit worried about what's going to show up on my next scan. But I would like the choice, and I'm not talking about suicide.
But it's interesting what you said there. You don't want your family to see you. So you wouldn't contemplate taking your own life yourself. You would do it for your family. Is that really the right reason? You see, that's precisely why those people who are against any notion of legalising assisted suicide would say that it is wrong to do so, that people like you would feel under pressure to take your life on behalf of your family.
No, I feel under no pressure at all. My family would want me to be around as long as possible, but I don't want to go through the end of pain, the same as, you know, has been described already. I would like the choice. I would like my DNR to include the fact that when I get to the point of not being able to cope with it, and I know, I mean, I'm pretty sane. I don't think anybody would call me, you know, unable to make the decision now. I would like to be able to make that same as the DNR and say, when I get to the point I can't stand it, please finish me. Because what else is there to look forward to? And I don't think anybody who isn't going through it themselves can understand how I feel.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not a suicide thing. I'm 67. Yep. I've had 3 years now like this. I was retired for 4 years before that. I've enjoyed what I've done all my life. I've been busy. I'm retired. I have a great life where we live here in the countryside. But I do not want to get to that final point of not knowing what I can do to solve my pain. And I don't think anybody else can tell me what I should be thinking.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, Carol, thank you so much.
I'm still sane enough to make that choice.
Thank you so much, Carol, for phoning us this morning.
The people who are legislating, the people who are talking, are not going through this situation.
Yeah. Carol, thank you so much for calling us this morning. And Lara, thank you for talking to us as well. And we wish your mum all the best, Lara. We're thinking
about
you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Good morning to you. Mark's on the line. Morning to you, Mark.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Mark.
Stephen, obviously, I'll pray for that girl there. It's very serious deal at the moment, Stephen, but it is hard to put yourself in anyone's shoes when you come to that moment in your life. But Stephen, do you not think this world at the moment, everything is a death culture? Everything we have in this world, all you hear in the Far East is people killing each other and people getting murdered and so forth. And ladies wanting to kill their babies on abortion and people wanting to commit suicide. Now, I mean, the world is just getting... where's compassion in this world? There's only one putting a hand out in compassion to them, that's helpless person, that's fight these diseases, that's get more done about it, you know.
Okay.
The world is trying to find other life on other planets.
Okay.
We're looking after our own planet first and looking after our own people.
Mark, thank you very much indeed.